Thank everybody for coming. I know a lot of you came from a long way to be here. And we appreciate you being willing to participate in healing and going through what it is to have a relationship with us. Anything for you to start with?
I'm Barbara Smiley. I'm here to share with you and to back up Glenn. Glenn's going to primarily be giving the seminar, but I'm just here to add a little female input. We found that people have difficulty listening to two people at the same time, so I'll be coming in and out. I guess I'll stand up here so you don't have to crank your necks. What we're going to share with you this weekend is a combination of two courses that we've put together that we've been leading for over 12 years now. One is the Couples Only Weekend, which is held in the Poconos, and one is a Singles Only Weekend, which is held in the Poconos. We put them both together and decided that if we could deliver this to the public, perhaps it would impact people enough to start questioning what their decisions are about relationship and questioning their own personal integrity about relationships. One of the things that we found when we first started getting into relationship with each other was that he had one set of values, I had another set of values. He had been divorced, I might as well have been divorced. I had two significant relationships that I would have married either one of them if they'd have asked, but I was such a bitch they didn't bother asking, you know. Thank God. But I was. I still have that quality about me. But now I use it positively. Thank you. So I might as well have been divorced. The feeling was the same, and the commitment was the same to me. I mean, in my own integrity. So when Glenn and I started doing this work, we started doing it with each other. I had decided that relationships could not work. It wasn't that they didn't work. It just wasn't possible for two people to live together with a different set of values, with a different set of circumstances, with different ideas, with different opinions. It was not possible for people to live together in harmony unless they lived kind of separate. You have your life, I have my life, and occasionally we'll come together, and then you have your life, and I'll have my life, and everything will be fine. But I hadn't figured out how to live with somebody and have that. You know, I mean, if they didn't come home at 5 o'clock for dinner, it was quite upsetting. I cook. I don't cook. One thing you'll find about me this weekend, I don't cook. We have an agreement. I don't cook. And they would, so I would cook. This was like a very big deal for me. I cook. You better be here. It doesn't matter that you have work to do. It doesn't matter that you're running overtime. None of that matters. I cook. You better be here. Not that I told you this morning I was going to cook, understand. You should just be able to read my mind that today's the day that I'm going to cook. You understand the scenario that I was in my relationship. So when we first got together, we decided that we were going to try and see if relationship could work. That if there was a relationship that could work, how? How do you do it? And so we went to the library and we were looking, how do you do a relationship? And anybody who's been to the library knows that it doesn't exist. You know, there's this theory, there's that theory, there's this philosophy, there's that philosophy. And as we started working on ourselves and started having insights into ourselves and how we were about relationship and the decisions that we had made about relationship, we started sharing it with people. And that's how this whole work got started. We didn't start out saying, okay, we're going to do this thing. We started out saying, how can we, you and I, have a relationship, particularly with stepchildren involved? How can you and I have a relationship that's ongoing? And so what we're going to share with you this weekend are some of the things that we went through to discover his stand about relationship, my stand about relationship, and then together, what are we going to create in a relationship? What we found with most people is that they never come together to say, okay, how are we going to have a relationship? It's always, this is how it's been, this is how it's been. Now, how are we going to compromise so that the two of us can live together? We haven't seen that that works. So what we're going to be doing this weekend is redefining relationship within ourselves. You know, my opinion about relationship based on Cinderella, basically, the truth be known. And his opinion about relationship based on whatever fairy tale he lived with didn't work. When you put them two together, it didn't work. And what happened was that we were angry with each other a lot. We were blaming each other a lot. Why aren't you doing my Cinderella thing? You know, you used to do Cinderella, and now you don't do Cinderella. And I don't feel special. And it doesn't matter that we're working 80 hours a week and we don't have any time together. You should treat me like Cinderella. So we're going to talk about all of those things throughout the weekend and discuss how to resolve them.
Well, for me, it really started when I was about 12 years old. And I used to go down to the schoolyard at night, and I'd buy a pint of ice cream, buttered almond ice cream, and it would be nighttime, and I'd go down and I'd sit on the swing, and I'd eat ice cream and swing, and I'd talk to God. And the conversation went something like this. God, there's got to be more to life than what I see my parents going through. I mean, there's got to be more to this. I want to know the truth about relationships. They're not happy. We're not happy. Our whole family's not happy. What's going on here? I want to know what the truth is. And I was 12 years old having that conversation with God. And then I grew up and went on through life, and I did marriage, and I did children, and I did divorce, and I did a lot of things that didn't work. I mean, I found out a lot of things that do not work in relationships. And so when Barbara and I met, it was a new beginning for me in relationships. Barbara was working at a home for abused, abandoned, and neglected children. And she knew all of this information about children and how to work with children and how to support children. I'd raised 4 children, 2 adopted and 2 natural, and I didn't know the first thing about raising children. I did it the way my stepfather raised me. And that wasn't really the best way to raise children. So I surrendered to Barbara to learn more how to be with children, and I was working with adults at the time to help them heal from having gone through what they'd gone through with their parents. So we combined all of that in our work originally when we started in 1982. We started in relationship. We were together for 4 years, and then we got married. We've been married 8 years now, and our relationship is stronger now than it's ever been. When we got married, we found out a whole new level of relationship. We went much deeper, and we were much more intimate and much more vulnerable. And I felt safe enough for the first time in my life to really tell the truth about what was going on for me in terms of relationships. Having shared in these 12 years with thousands of people, doing all kinds of different courses and programs that we've led, we kind of condensed it all down into what we're going to give you this weekend about relationships. So we may not have a lot of time to explain how we got to, what we got to, or what it took to find this out. We're going to share it with you, like the nuts and bolts of it. It's really fairly simple. What we have to share with you is fairly simple. It may not be easy, but it really all is fairly simple now that we've got to where we've got to. So we're going to give you 100% of what we can to support you in having your relationship be the way that you really want it to be. And we've read your forms, and what you're asking for is available here, and much, much more. So it's going to be an exciting weekend for us, and I hope it'll be an exciting weekend for you, and that you'll get a lot more clear about what's been going on for you in terms of relationships. Us telling you what has been going on for you will not help you heal. But you revealing to yourself what's been going on and how you're causing the circumstances to be the way they are will help you to heal. So we're going to kind of share our experience and what we found out, but then it's up to you to kind of fit that into your life to see, do you do this or do you not do this, or how it fits for you in terms of your relationship. You can ask questions at any time while we're going through the weekend. Today, this morning, we're going to be looking at how we listen with each other, the power of our word and what the speaking has to do with it and what we're saying. And then we're going to look at our stand about the opposite sex. So that whole arena there will take pretty much the morning. We'll have a break during the morning, and then we'll have lunch about 1:30. Then we'll come back and we'll have an afternoon break this first time. We'll be done by 6 today. So there's a lot to give you, but there's a lot for you to get. So hopefully, it'll all come together by the end of the weekend.
Hopefully?
For most people, it does. This is the second workshop we've done like this. The other one we did here in Columbia not long ago, and it was very powerful, and we had a lot of fun, and everybody seemed to get what they came for. So I think that'll happen here. Okay. The first thing we want to discuss is listening in relationships, because listening has a major effect on how we experience our relationships. And listening is a function of our heart. Hearing is a function of our ear. If we have the right parts in our head, the eardrum, the stirrup, the anvil, all that stuff, then we can hear. But what we listen to is more non-physical. And hearing is physical, listening is non-physical. Listening has an emotional impact more than a physical impact. For instance, if we're driving our car down the highway and we hear a train whistle blow, we've heard a lot of train whistles blow in our time, and it doesn't really have much of an impact on us. But if our car is stalled on the railroad track and we hear a train whistle blow, then we listen, right? Suddenly the adrenaline starts flowing and we prepare for survival, get out of the way. So a lot of energy surge happens because we're listening now instead of just hearing. Have you ever been in a relationship and your partner tells you, well, you don't listen to me? This is what they're talking about. You may be hearing them, but you're not necessarily listening to what they're saying. What you're listening to is a conversation that you're having with yourself about what they're saying. What we listen to mostly is our mind. That little voice in our head that talks to us all the time, has a conversation about everyone and everything, and we listen to that voice as if it knows what it's talking about, right? But our mind is for our survival. And there's four survival functions of our mind. The first survival function is that it makes us right and everyone else wrong. Have you ever noticed how right you are in relationship? You know exactly how it is. That's a survival function of our mind. The second survival function of our mind is that when we are right, or when we are wrong, our mind makes us right about being wrong. It justifies how come we're wrong. And so we gather evidence to show us that it's okay, of course we're wrong, but we couldn't help it. We're victimized. So that's the second survival function. The third survival function of our mind is that it gives us all the reasons why it won't work, why we shouldn't even do it, why we don't deserve it, why we shouldn't even try. And the fourth survival function of our mind is to give us all the reasons why it will work, why we should do it, why we do deserve it, why we should go for it. But we have selective listening. And what we listen to mostly is that we're right and everyone else is wrong. So in our relationship, when our partner is trying to communicate to us whatever they're trying to communicate, very often we're listening that they don't really know what they're talking about. We know how it is. We know how what we said. We know what we meant. They don't know how it is. We're right and they're wrong. So we listen from the right-wrong scenario most of the time. When we listen from right-wrong, it creates an atmosphere of criticism, of listening criticism. When they tell us what they tell us, we listen as if they're criticizing us. And then what happens? When we get criticized, what happens? Yeah, we feel like we're being attacked. And then we start to defend ourselves. And what happens next? We attack back.
Right. With pots and pans.
Pots and pans. Dishes across the room. That's from our own listening. We're listening as if they're criticizing us. We're right about that. They're wrong about criticizing us. And so we get angry. We defend ourselves. And if it continues, we attack back. Criticism occurs between our ears. It's in our own listening. There is another listening, however, in relationship that will help you to understand or get what the person is saying to you, what your relationship is saying. We call that kind of listening correction. When we listen correction, we can understand what they're saying. We can hear what they're saying. We can understand it. It has an emotional impact on us, and we can start to see how it fits. For instance, Barbara and I had gone to Atlantic City for several days one time, and I like to gamble just a little bit, and we were having a good time, and we had some of our friends there. And so the first couple of days, I was winning all the time. Just having a great time, was winning. The last night of our trip down there, the guys all went to the casino, and the girls all stayed home.
Well, wait a minute. The guys all put on three-piece double-breasted suits and went to the casinos. And the girls all stayed home.
Well, that night I started losing.
And Glenn's just walking like a peacock. I'm a winner.
So that night at the casino I started losing. And I lost everything that I won all week. And so I went to the phone and I called Barbara and I said, honey, there's something going on over here. Nothing I'm doing over here works. I mean, I've lost it, everything I've always wanted. What do you see going on with me? I don't see it. What's going on with me? She says, oh. She says, I really think you've been in your ego about what a great gambler you are. You're right. She says, you're right. I've been bragging about what a great gambler I am, how I always win. You're right. And it was just crystal clear to me. When she said that, I listened to her. It was crystal clear. I surrendered to what she said. I made her right. She was right. Okay. So I said, well, do you think I should play some more, or do you think I ought to just come on home? She said, well, if you want to play and have fun, go ahead. But if you think it's going to make you good enough or some great gambler, you're going to be in your ego about it. She said, no bother. Just come on home. I said, well, we're still here. I think I'll play and we'll have a little fun. Just enjoy ourselves. And then I won back everything that I lost. But it wasn't until I listened to what she said, I made her right about it, then I could see it. It was real clear to me. So then I was able to turn it around and say, listening is very important in relationships. Because what we listen to mostly is that we're right and they're wrong. And our evidence is from our entire life of being right. Now, when we speak with emotion, we produce results. The creative power relationship is when we speak with emotion. So we're listening to what our mind is saying. We're being right, they're being wrong, and then we speak it. We speak it out loud. And we're going to be right about whatever we spoke. So if we're saying, you don't understand me, you never understand me. You never understand me. Then the evidence that we have in our life shows us that they don't understand me. Because we'll be right about what we spoke. So we listen to our mind, we speak, but what we're speaking most of the time is not supportive of a loving, vulnerable, open, alive relationship. Most of the time, what do we speak? Oh, you squeeze our toothpaste the wrong way. You leave your dirty clothes on the floor. All the time. He's going to be late. She's going to be late. I know she's going to be late. I'll bet you she's going to be late. The power of our word. We get to be right. Would you rather be right or alive and in love? Hopefully by the end of the weekend, you'll give up the need to be right. Because the need to be right is devastating to the relationship. So what if we're right? It doesn't matter. What matters is being open and vulnerable and intimate with each other.
So in this scenario that Gillen gave you, where he was going to the casino, what do you think? I knew that he was in his ego when he walked out the door. What do you think would have happened if I'd have said, honey, you can't do that. It doesn't matter. All you guys found out you can do this hot shot gambler. Gamble once a year. What do you think his reaction would have been? Yeah. When he was just stressed. I'm sorry? No. He probably would have had a thought about it.
I wouldn't have listened at that point. It wasn't until the chips were down, that I opened up the list and then I asked for the input. Then I was able to listen. So you gotta be willing to open yourself up and ask the person that you love and trust what they see going on with you. See, we can't see ourselves. Our eyes look out that way. All we can see is others. And the only way we can really begin to see ourselves is if we ask somebody that we love and trust to tell us the truth about what they see going on with us. And then make them right about whatever they say. I mean, people pay Barbara lots of money to tell them what she sees going on with them. And I get it for free. All I got to do is ask.